Blog Talk Radio.
Now, let me take that back.
Good morning.
Cold day. How are you this lovely cold day?
I'm doing just fine. I'm doing good.
Praise the Lord. So am I. I just woke up this morning all cheerful, thanking God for another day. And we have a lot of great word today. This morning, we are doing something a little different. We are merged in for the conference call people. We are merged into the Blog Talk people. So we have both Blog Talk and our conference number going at the same time. So we are merged today. We're going to pray that Blog Talk acts right and doesn't act ugly. But we are going to continue and keep moving forward in the Word of God, thanking God for another day. Mother Valerie, pray us in. After Mother Valerie, after she prays, she will be in Genesis chapter 7 and chapter 8. I will be back in the third Psalm, verses 1 through 4, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, and Matthew chapter 4 on this fourth day of the month of January. And I'm still just, wow, thanking God for another year. God gave us another year. And so this whole week is a happy new year, family. Thank you for joining, moving forward. Tell a friend, conference a friend, invite a friend. But the word of God is going forth as long as God allows us to do it. So Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you and say again, good morning, Mother. How are you this beautiful cold day?
Good morning, Pastor. I'm doing fine. Good morning, saints of God and people of God. God is good, and he's good all the time. Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank and praise you. You have did it again. You have woke us up and started us on our way. Lord, bless your word. Bless the people that will listen to your word, and bless your word as you always do. We thank and give you praise. Hallelujah to your name. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We give you praise. And when we can't say anything else, we say thank you in Jesus' name. Be blessed.
Thank you. Amen.
We're coming out of Genesis 7 and 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, male and its female, two each of animals that are unclean, male and its female. Also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I'll cause it to rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I've made. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters were on the earth. So Noah with his son, his wife, and his son's wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Clean animals and animals that are unclean, of birds and of everything that creeps on the earth. Two by two, they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. Came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up. The windows of the heaven were open. Rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Sam, Ham, and Jesse, and Noah's wife and three wives of his sons with him entered the ark. They and every beast of his kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after his kind, every bird of his kind, every bird of every sort, they went into the ark to Noah, two by two of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Whew! The Lord shut the door of the ark. The Lord did. Nobody else did this. For God shut the door. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark. It rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed greatly and increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth. And all the high hills under the whole heaven was covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. All flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle, beasts, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils were the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. I can imagine Noah out there building the ark and the people laughing. Well, we ain't never had rain. What is rain? And he said, it's going to rain. God's going to make it rain. And they just laughed at Noah building the ark. But he and his family, Ham and Sam and Jacob, they kept on building the ark regardless of being ridiculed. It was 8 people that were saved in that ark, because God destroyed everything off the face of the earth. Everything had to go. Animals, everything that have breath, everything that breathes was destroyed from the face of the earth. Chapter 8. Then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. God made a wind to pass over the ark, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of 150 days, the water decreased. Then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat, and the waters decreased continually into the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the top of the mountains were seen. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Then he sent out a raven. He sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the earth. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her feet, and she returned into the ark to him. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand, took her, and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days. And again, he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. So he waited yet another 7 days, sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. Came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters was dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark, and look, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. My goodness. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. You know, to start the world all over again, he started with 8 people because everything that breathed was destroyed. And he started over with Noah and his family because Noah was found righteous in the sight of Almighty God. So Noah went out and his sons and his wife, with him, every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth according to their families went out of the ark. So Noah built an altar to the Lord and took a very clean animal and a very clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imaginations of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. God said, I will never, ever destroy the earth again. I won't do that again. And you know, later on, you're going to remember that he put a rainbow up in the sky so he could remember his covenant with all living things and with Noah. God said he will never, never, ever, ever do that again. Life lessons, Genesis 8 and 1. God remembered Noah and every living thing. God always remembers his people, not merely to recall their existence or names, but to act in grace toward them, even if they must wait for him to act. God wants to give us mercy and grace. That's really what he wants because he's a father. Life lesson, Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Right now, we are in winter. Temperature outside is 27. And I'll be so happy and glad that we are in summer. It says, while the earth remains, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. God's promise means the difference between life and death. Even when things look darker, we can rely on his trustworthy word. Everything about God is real. God cannot lie. Everything he says will come to pass. And he said that sometimes we have to wait, but everything will come to pass. It will happen. We just have to wait sometime and be patient. It might not happen when you want it to happen, but it will happen. God can't lie. He's God. He's the maker of heaven and earth. And everything he do is right. How can the clay say to the potter, I don't like this, and I don't want this? You can't. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We need to obey God and know that we are the children of the Most High God. We're just children. So obey God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Wow. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Okay, good morning. Wow. Great word, Mother. Thank you so much. 8 people went into that ark, And we got to remember that 8 is a new beginning. That's where it comes from. 8 is a new beginning. God gave us a new beginning with Noah and his wife and his sons, you know, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. He gave us a new beginning. And we should all thank God because, again, I say it on a regular, we are family because of Noah and his sons. We are family. We are family because of Adam and Eve. We are family. And we need to remember that as we go through our life. Remember, brothers shouldn't hate brothers. Sisters shouldn't hate sisters. We shouldn't hate each other because one may be a different complexion than the other. One may have a different hair texture than the other. We are all family, and we should love each other. And the word that God has given us for this morning in our psalm is the third psalm, verses 1 through 4. It is a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And we all know Absalom plotted, not for a little while, but for years, for vengeance against his father. His brother, he killed immediately, not too long after the rape of his sister. And understand that Tamar was his full sister. She wasn't a half-sister. They had the same mother and the same father. And when his sister was violated by his half-brother, he was upset. And he killed him. Had him killed. And then he went for vengeance against his father. And he waited years, plotted years to take over the kingdom. And David had to flee from his own son because he wanted to kill him. But instead, Joab killed him as he got caught by his hair. Had that beautiful hair. And that beautiful hair is what caused his death. And plotting against his father. Because the word of God says, honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long on this earth. Absalom didn't have a long life. I think he was probably in his 40s, but still could have lived a lot longer had he not plotted against the anointed of God. And it says this, Lord, how they have increased to trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say to me, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Selah. God heard him from the holy hill. And he said, and Dr. Stanley tells us in the life lesson for the third psalm, verse 2, many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. To make it in the Christian life, we must surrender ourselves with other believers who love the Lord and who love us. Doubters and skeptics we can find anywhere. In the church, we should find encouragement. Can I say that again, Mother? In the church, we should find encouragement. We shouldn't find folks in the church doing just stuff, the same stuff as the world, putting down, talking about, vilifying. We should be lifted up, speaking highly of, because God is giving us opportunity, and we need to work the word of God. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the opening of the gates in the city. She speaks all words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Wisdom. Wisdom calls out to all of us. God wants us to have wisdom. wisdom in what we do, wisdom in our coming in, wisdom in our going out, that we can't just do any old thing. We got to stop, think about it, pray about it, ask God to guide us in it. Thank God every day for your grace, for his grace, and for his mercy. And ask God for wisdom and discernment. We need to be able to discern them demons out there and wisdom to not follow after them. Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. There he is again, the slimy, sneaky snake. He went after Eve, and now he's going after the Savior. And you know he knows who Jesus is, because this is where he lets you know he knows who Jesus is. And this is what he does with his, just again, slimy, sneaky snake. Just a slimy, awful, sneaky snake. And it said, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, also known as the slimy, sneaky snake. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered and said, it is written. Jesus uses the word. And when we are tempted, we've got to use the word of God, which is why we study and meditate on his word to show ourselves approved. So we have our weapon of choice, which is the word of God, when the slimy, sneaky snake comes at us. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil, the slimy, sneaky snake, took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. But it is written. So then the devil is going to try to use the word of God against the Son of God. He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. So as we say, the devil knows the word of God too. He's going to take it and twist it and bend it.
Amen.
And not quite use it the way it is meant to be used. So understand, careful, and have wisdom and discernment. Just as Solomon said in his word, wisdom calls aloud outside. She rises her voice in the open square. We've got to have wisdom, because the enemy, never forget, was an angel of the Lord too. He was one of the archangels. He was one of the mighty angels of God. He was the angel of light. Not the light like Jesus. I don't want to get that twisted. That's why you have all these folks out there called Luciferians, because they believe of Satan, the light. They believe of Lucifer, who was the angelic name of the devil. And that is where you get your Illuminati nonsense. But these people are serious and never take that for granted. And so the devil knows the word of God. He twists it. He manipulates it. And he can bring all kind of folks down. Why do you think we had it in Revelation, the Antichrist? He is the anti of Christ. And so he's trying to use the word of God against Jesus. And then Jesus said, don't get it twisted, boo. And he said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus said, you're going to try to use the word against me, the Son of God? Let me tell you something. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Don't play with me. I'm not the one. He had to let him know, not today. Not today, Satan. And we got to start having that in our spirit. Not today, Satan, when he comes at you. And he going to come at you, Pastor talks about all the time, through your children, through your spouses, through your grandkids, through the dogs, through the cats. He going to come at you, especially after a move of God. And then he comes at him again. again the devil, a.k.a. Scarny Seeky Snake, took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.
My Lord.
Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee and Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadows of death, light. It says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And understand, that is what John the Baptist also preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And never forget, Jesus and John were cousins. John the Baptist and Jesus Christ were cousins. John was the son of Elizabeth, and Jesus, the son of Mary. They were related. And it was, he allowed his cousin to baptize him. John knew who Jesus was in vitro. John knew who Jesus was in the womb. Come on now. He's the one that leaped for joy when in the presence of the baby Jesus in vitro. Amen. They both were in their mother's womb, jumping for joy and knowing each other. So understand, John is put in prison because Herod was doing some slipping, dipping, and diving into his sister-in-law and married her.
Amen.
Come on now. Low down, dirty snakes. Patience is what Jesus said to show us that we cannot, that we have to use the word of God when the enemy comes at you with temptation. You know you need to buy that pair of shoes, girl. You know you need another pair of boots. You know, some that you can wear to church. You know, you need another, like, 50 zillion other pairs of black boots. Come on now. Really? No, not today. I don't need anything. That's when you got to start saying, nope, I don't need that. No, I do not. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. God said, I'm on a fast. I'm staying on it. Goodbye. You know, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach to say, repent. And we got to do the same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We understand all you have to do is look at the signs. We are in times coming. Those end times, or we are on the cusp. There's a whole lot that has to go forth. You know, we got to remember that. Never forget. Read Revelations. Don't go by what he said, she said, I say, a mother say. Read it for yourself. It will give you a blueprint of what is coming and what will happen. You can know the signs by the word of God. Not my words, not mother's words, but God's word. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, but they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Did they say, who's this crazy man talking about making us fishers of men? They immediately dropped their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. These fishermen, Simon and Andrew, James and John, and understand wherever he went, Peter, James, and John were with him. Andrew was not always with them, but it was always them three, which were the three of the four that he called first, who immediately left fishing to follow him to be fishermen of men. And Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel, kingdom, and the healing of all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. Then his fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptic, and paraplegic. And he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. And, you know, for this Matthew word, in Matthew, life lesson, Matthew 4 and 1, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Holy Spirit led Jesus to a barren place where the devil waited to tempt him. We should never doubt God's leading just because we run into temptation. That is often God's way of testing us. Matthew 4 and 3. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Satan tries to get us to doubt the word of God and test him promises, test God's promises. He will urge us to think that God cannot quite be trusted or that what he has said is not the whole truth. And that's the same lie that he used against Eve and Adam in the garden. Oh, please. You're not going to die, girl. Just go on and take a taste of that fruit. What you're going to do is you're going to be like us. You're going to be like, you know, hey, you're going to have some knowledge of good and evil. Not understanding that innocence. They had the innocence of children. And there is nothing more beautiful than the innocence of children. When you hear a child go into the house because he got his own Christian music that he likes to listen to, and that he got Alexa, and he'll go in and tell Alexa, he asked Alexa, play God's way. Come on now. That touched my heart when I found out my baby loves God's way. It's music, and he'll tell Alexa, play God's way, and Alexa tears it up, and he just praises God. And that does something to my heart to know that a child is praising God. A child is giving God his best. You know, he's running free and he got his arms up because he is trusting and worshiping God. And it's something about that that touches my heart. And I pray that it touches yours too, that we teach our children when they're little to praise God. You know, I believe that Minister Shannon is on this morning. And she'll tell you, her granddaughter was going through some stuff at school by a teacher teaching false words. And she did not hesitate to say, oh, that's not right. That's not what the word of God says. We got to make sure that we train up a child the way he should go, that when he is old, he will not depart from it. And the evilness of the sneaky snake perverting the word of God, they will not stand for it. They will tell you, Hey, my grandson, he was talking about God in school. I said, you did what? He said, they didn't know God. And I know I told you that. He was upset that there was people in his class that did not know God. And it touched my heart because you pour into our children. We've got to pour into them, so that they will understand when the enemy comes at them and says, he shall give his angels charge over you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus had to rebuke that spirit. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Don't go out talking about, I'm going to kill myself. And then you go out and take some pills because you feel God's going to save you. No, that's tempting God. We don't do that. You know, playing, that's like playing. What is that? Where you're playing like cat and mouse. Well, I'm going to jump out here in front of this car, but I'm going to move back like the squirrels do. Get you all crazy.
Hello.
The squirrels run out in front of you on the street. Like, little squirrel, I will hit you. Don't be playing with me. You know, and I love the word in Matthew 4:17. It is written, it is written, it is written. And that has got to be our absolute praise word. It is written. Jesus responded to each of Satan's three temptations by appealing to the unchanging word of God. It is written. Say it. It is written. If we want to successfully overcome temptation, we must know what the word says. We got to go into the word. And this is what Dr. Stanley says, some answers to life questions. And he says, how do I handle nagging doubt? Satan loves to use fear and doubt against believers.
Mm-hmm.
And I can
Amen.
Attest to that. He knows if he can get you to question God, then maybe you will give up and abandon his will for your life. Feelings of fear
Amen.
Often precede feelings of doubt and uncertainty. If left unattended, these runaway emotions can cause you to stop trusting God and his ability to provide for you. A first step to diffuse doubt is to determine its origin. Begin by asking yourself if your feelings of doubt have a legitimate basis. Many times we struggle with thoughts and feelings that have no validity. Second, reading God's word is a great way to combat fear and doubt. A daily reading, which
Amen.
Is why we do what we do, to have a daily reading of the word of God. A daily reading program such as the one you're reading right now, come on, Dr. Stanley, now will show you many ways to handle doubt. The book of Psalms highlights many personal battles over emotions such as fear, loneliness, and discouragement. David and others made a conscious decision to trust the Lord through tremendously difficult circumstances, and found that God never once failed them. Prayer is also essential in fighting fear and doubt. On last night, at our women's meeting, we made prayer boards. And I tell you, it is something to behold where you put your stuff on your board. You know, what are you praying for? What do you want God to do? And then you put in the middle of your prayer board answered prayers. So you write your prayers and make them plain. Then you put them on your board. And then you start to write out your prayers and put them into the envelopes that you may have created. Mine are for family, for more faith, for the ministries that I am involved with, you know, for my children, you know, for the different things that I do for God. I pray about it. Pray before we get on in the morning. Prayer before we leave. We pray. Prayer changes all kinds of things. I thank you for praying for my children because all of them travel the highways. And I'm grateful that God has watched over them. You know, my daughter travels on the train. My sons both travel the highways on their jobs. And I'm grateful that God has been there. My oldest son has had 2 tire blowouts last year. Tire just went. One time, brand new tire, hadn't even had it a week. Tire blew out. We got to understand. We've got to keep trusting God. And it says prayer is also essential in fighting fear and doubt. In essence, prayer is faith in action. When we pray, regardless of whether we feel like it, we make a statement of faith. We pray because we see God as the solution to what we face. If you are facing a difficult situation, don't be slow in asking God to show you the best way to handle it. If your level of trust seems low, don't worry. God is wise and kind. He wants to teach you more about himself, not frighten you away. Your faith will increase as you get to know him better. Even if you don't have the emotional strength to trust God, you can still begin. God will be your straight A-B. Simpson often told those who found themselves in a difficult spot, when God tests you, it is a good time for you to test him by putting his promises to the proof and claiming from him just as much as your trials are rendered necessary. Always be honest with God. He knows it all anyway. Honesty breaks the pattern of doubt. The last thing Satan wants you to do is to go to God in prayer and tell him you feel doubtful. He knows that God loves you with an eternal love and that if you come to him for help, he will give you all the assistance you need. That's why he gets upset. But understand, let me say this, because God has put it in my spirit to say, never underestimate the enemy. God will prevail. Jesus will prevail. But don't underestimate the sneaky, slimy snake. He is in this world, walking to and fro to see who he can destroy, to see who he can mess up. And never forget that a third of heaven came with him. The most powerful are in chains. God has already said he ain't allowing them to walk the earth. But the others are demonic, and they are always watching, always scheming. And we have to always be praying. Pray, pray, and pray some more. Never cease in prayer.
Yeah.
Because you don't understand. Prayer is your protection. Prayer protects you from the purpose of the predator, who is the Lucifer, who is the devil, who is Satan, who is all them fallen angels. All in one spirit, one mind of Antichrist. Don't get it twisted. And believe me when I say this, the devil knows the word of God. And he will tempt even the best of us. All you have to do is look on the internet and see what's going on with men of power. Unfortunately, some are fallen or some are saying that they fail. We don't know. Only God does. And it's not our place to judge anybody. Judge not, lest you be judged. So I'm not judging anyone. All I'm saying is, be careful whose pews you stand in. Pray, pray, and pray some more. Because God is trying to get our attention. And our prayer for today, speaking of prayer, in our prayer book, our 365, Days of Prayer for this fourth day of September. Positive influence. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5 and 6. And we will have that word on tomorrow. Wonderful God, you are brighter than the sun. Your ways shine brilliantly in a dark world. Lord, I have joined my life to yours. May my life reflect your glory. I will not hoard the goodness you've placed in my life, living as if my interests are the only ones that matter. If I keep my light hidden, what's the point? Lord, I know that you have given me everything I need to live a life like yours. As I love others with mercy, may they realize how incredibly merciful you are. As I live with a heart of compassion toward all, may others catch on how compassionate you are. When I treat others with kindness, no matter their station or attitude, may it be a reflection of your own exclusive kindness. Let all I do line up with your character. When it doesn't, let me be quick to repent and seek forgiveness and reconciliation, revealing your magnanimous heart that is swift to forgive. Be glorified in my life in the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus. Father, shine on me, Lord. And the question for the day, as we get ready for a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, is how do your actions reflect the heart of the Father? Do people see the Jesus in you? Or do they see that other one? How do you act when you're not in church is a question that we each have to look at ourselves. When we're not in the house of God, excuse my language, but are you out there raising it? Because I tell you what, God sees everything, and he does, in fact, know your heart. And as we go into a word from Sister Carolyn this morning, we must remember who God is and that he loves you. Woo! And right on point. Stop giving people the power to control your happiness. Your worth and value is determined by God. Can I say that again? Stop giving people the power to control your happiness. Your worth and value is determined by God. Have a triumphant Thursday, family. And remember who you are and who you belong to. Remember who your daddy is. And that we shall worship the Lord our God, and him only you shall serve. You shall worship the Lord their God, and him only you shall serve. Don't let the enemy twist you up and have you eating forbidden fruit like Eve and Adam. Don't let him twist the word of God. And ask God when you go into your churches, Lord, give me discernment. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. So you know that you know when a word is in context and when it's not. When a word is from God and when it's not. Ask God to give you the discernment to know the difference. Because you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall worship. You can't worship presidents and political leaders. You can't worship pastors, TV pastors, even the pastors in your church. You can't worship them. You can love them. You can allow them to be your spiritual leaders, but you cannot put them before God. We got to love God first, and then you can love everything and everybody else. And you always pray, pray, and pray, and pray some more for your pastors. There's too many folks having pastors for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I don't mean in a good way. They're not inviting them to lunch, to breakfast, or to dinner. Instead, they're talking about them. When, you know, Pastor Show didn't preach the word. I don't know. I didn't like what he preached today. I don't like what he said today. I don't like what she did. Did you see what he had on? Did you see what she had on? That didn't look like no pastor to me. Well, you know, I don't think women need to be in the pulpit anyway. So I don't know. I don't think I'm going back to that church. You know, you know, I heard that pastor was, you know, doing such and such and such. You heard. Did you see it? Do you know it? And I know that there are those that are out there in the news right now. Don't talk about, just lift up. Lift them up. Ask God to lead and guide them. Ask God to show you the way. Ask God to give you the discernment of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You can forgive, but that don't mean you got to follow. That don't mean you got to go continue going to that church. Yes, we all fall down, but we get up. But God ain't told us to be stupid. Trust Lord. Watch over. Keep lifting up. And watch God work in your life. We have no more. We're done. I'm sorry. Mother, do you have anything else to say on this beautiful, wonderful lesson this morning? Woo, it's powerful.
You know, to me, it's just amazing. It's amazing. God destroyed everything on the face of the earth, everything. And he saved and started the earth again with eight people. Eight people. And look at us now. We got started with just eight people. But look at all the different
billions of people.
All the people and billions of people on the face of the earth got started with eight. And he said he would never, ever, 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 ever destroy the earth with water, with a flood again. He said God is good. He's good all the time. And he brought judgment because of what the people were doing. I mean, he didn't want to destroy the earth, but he did. I mean, it's horrible to come into the hands of a God that's angry. God is just good. And you're going to be judged for the things that you do in this body. Sometimes it happens right then, and it happens later. So God is just good. He's good. He's a father, and he gives you children so that you can understand his feelings. God has emotions, just like we have emotions. God is God, and he gets angry. He gets angry. It is better to obey than to, obedience is better than sacrifice. God gets angry, just like you get angry when your children disobey you. So started this world all over again, eight people. I mean, it's just good. And that's about
and amazing.
It.
Amazing. God is amazing. You know, if there's anyone out there that would like to speak or has a word that God has put in your spirit to share, push the number one on your phone if you are on Blog Talk, or if you are on the line, just unmute your phone. What a mighty word this morning. And, again, I'm thanking God that Blog Talk is back up and working. But we will still continue with our conference call, and we are merging the two into one. So thanking all of you for listening in this morning to Mother Valerie and I. There does not seem to be anyone that has a word or would like to speak. So we are going to wrap it up a little bit earlier because I have to go to work, and Mother has to get her rest to be ready to come to church tonight. So we are going to wrap up, and as we go out always in prayer. Father God in heaven, we thank you for another day. We thank you for your mighty word, God. We continue to lift up those that listen live and listen later, God. We ask you, Lord God, as the word says, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the name of Jesus, we lift up this word, and we ask you, God, to watch over each and every one of us, those that travel the highways and byways, those that just do what they need to do for you, God. We ask you to watch over our pastors, God. Give them strength, God. Give them discernment and perseverance, God. Cover them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, God. For they are in war right now, God. They are fighting the fight of faith. They are fighting for your kingdom. And I ask you, Lord God, to watch over them, to give them strength, to give them everything they need. Provide for your children, God, those that you have called to lead the sheep of your pasture. Father God, may they be not wolves in sheep clothing, but may they be good shepherds following the lead of the great shepherd, you, God, and your son, Jesus Christ. So, Father God, as we lift up, look up, give you honor, glory, and praise. We ask you, Lord God, to cover us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God and saying to you guys, Mother, what are we saying? We're saying it. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Come join Mother and I tomorrow. For those that like to look and read early before we come on, to know what we're going to be studying. On tomorrow, we will be in Genesis chapter 9 and 10. Actually, we will be in Genesis the whole day because it is Old Testament Friday. So we will be starting in Genesis 9:10. and we will be going into Genesis 14. So we will be in Genesis 9 through 14 on tomorrow. You want to read the word and have it in your heart before we come on. Tomorrow we'll be in Genesis chapter 9 through Genesis chapter 14. And on Sunday, we will be at our Proverbs and our Psalms, and we will be in Matthew continuously on Sunday as well. So please join us tomorrow for Old Testament Friday, and we will be working our way through Genesis, through the genealogies up to Abram. So thank you so much. God love you. God keep you. God make his face to shine upon you. In all things, be blessed. Have a great day. Mother Valerie, it is our official closing, and it is a wrap.
It's a wrap.